Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. If it's God's will, it's God's bill. He will take care of it. He is faithful, and God always takes care of us. You know, as long as we're taking care of His business, doing it His way, we keep saying, Lord, help us to get out of Your way so we don't try to do it in our own wisdom. God builds the house, and when God builds it, it doesn't fall. And He builds our lives will stand. Amen. He is the sure foundation. And the foundation is truth, folks. Our lives are built on the foundation of the truth. It's the belt that holds it all together. If you don't have the truth, you're in trouble. And people perish because they don't know what is true. And we've all believed lies, all of us have. So we're discovering what is authentic, what is true, through the revelation that the Holy Spirit gives us, brings to us. And last week, I think it was last week, we were talking about how to know what is true. And you cannot know what is true except by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God who reveals to us the truth. The Holy Spirit always speaks of Jesus, always exalts Jesus, and takes what Jesus has taught and either reminds us or reveals to us. Even He will show us things to come to prepare us, His people, for what is coming. And if there is ever a time that we need to be drawing near to God, it's now. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we thank You. Hallelujah for Your goodness. We just rejoice, Lord, in Your goodness today. And we thank You. Thank You for being faithful. Thank You, Lord. Today I'm going to speak on a topic. It's what is sanctification is the question. What is sanctification? Sometimes you may get that that mental image of, you know, the church lady on Saturday Night Live or something. And, you know, of course, none of you ever watched that. But, yeah, if you have, repent. But no, I have since repented. You know what I'm talking about, the church lady, right? And we're not talking about self-righteousness. But sanctification, what is sanctification? And I want us to begin with this scripture as our foundation. Now, we've talked about this a little bit more in the detail as to how we're made up, our the way God formed mankind and really created us. We were created in His image, and we know that our God is triune. He is a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God in three persons, and we are tripartite. That means we are three parts as well. And so we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. That word sanctify means to make holy, to purify or consecrate. Consecrate means to set apart. And that word completely, God wants to do what? He wants to sanctify us completely. What does that mean? It means spirit, soul, and body. Understand this. It's important to know this. And that word completely means to complete to the end. That means absolutely perfect. In other words, God's desire, God's plan is to make you and I whole in every part of our being. Whole, body, soul, and spirit. But God doesn't use it in that order. God says spirit, soul, and body. But the world always talks from the perspective of body, soul, and spirit. If you notice the difference. Often what we do in the world in our natural being is fleshly, it's earthly. We are controlled by our fleshly desires in the natural. So much of what we do is what our body tells us to do, or our intellect tells us to do. When we don't have Christ, when we are not born of His Spirit, we simply live a soul life, a soulish life, or a sensual life. And so the decisions we make in the natural are based upon our own human intellect and understanding, and often we make decisions based upon how we feel. We make emotional decisions all the time in the natural. And emotional decisions get you in trouble. You know, how many know the salesman has discovered how to use that very craftily? So we're not to be led by our emotions. We're not to be led by what we see. We're not to function according to what we see with our natural eyes. The just shall live by faith and not by sight. Okay, so we need to understand a little bit about how we're made up. And God's plan is that we would be totally sanctified, body, soul, and spirit. And the source of sanctification, the one who does it, is who? The God, right? God Himself, God of peace. And Paul is praying for this to happen, to be accomplished. So there's something we need to understand here is that in order for God to do His work in us, we do have to come into agreement with Him, and we do have to pray for His kingdom to come and His will to be done. It is our responsibility to ask, to seek, and to knock. It's our responsibility to pray for His kingdom to come, right? So, in order for a person to be sanctified, we need to understand, first of all, you cannot sanctify yourself. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. God Himself will sanctify you completely, spirit, soul, and body, to be preserved, listen, blameless before Him at His coming. God wants to redeem, I want you to hear this, the entire person. And I'm going to talk about it today. A little bit more, we'll get into it. What do we mean by that? God wants to redeem the entire person. Some people have mistakenly believed that a believer can become sinlessly perfect in this life through their own efforts. Now, we discovered already, right? According to the law, no flesh is justified. It is impossible for us in our own efforts to be sinless. That's what redemption is all about. That's why Jesus came, to pay the price that we deserve to pay. He paid the price for our sins. He redeemed or purchased us with His own blood. Because in God's sight, we are all precious to Him. We are valuable to Him, so valuable that He was willing to go all the way to the cross for us. That even while we were yet in our sin, not that we looked for Him, Christ died. That's how much God loves humanity, how much He loves His creation, and He wants His people to be saved. Amen? So God is the one who does the sanctification. When a person is born again, we are set free from sin. In other words, the body of sin has actually been done away with. But the mind needs to be renewed through the revelation of the truth. And that's what we've been talking about for the last several weeks, is the problem is in our thinking. If we do not believe what is true about ourselves, then we will live a lie. People perish because they lack the knowledge of the truth. And it is also true that there are those who will listen and hear truth, but will refuse to submit to it. But without the knowledge of the truth, we can't even begin to know what is authentic or be able to discern between what is real and what is false. And it's the Holy Spirit who reveals that to us. He is the Spirit of truth. And through him we can know, by him we can know what is true. And Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." I say this often, but for those who haven't heard this before, understand that God did not come to patch us up. He didn't come, as Jesus said, to put an old or a new patch on an old garment. He said, you got to have a brand new garment. We know that in redemption, what takes place is God takes out of us that heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh. And he comes to dwell within us. We become a new person, a new creation, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, born again, not of the will of the flesh or of man, right? But of God, born of God. It is the work of God in us. It is not anything we can do for ourselves. You understand that? It is the grace of God. And if we think that through my own efforts I can somehow achieve sinlessness, I am trying to work in my own efforts or in my own human nature or ability to somehow measure up to God's holiness, and I've discovered that that doesn't work. The more that I strive to be good, it seems like the worse I become. Because I am leaning or depending on my ability to be holy rather than trusting in his grace to keep me. We need to have more faith in God's ability to keep us, come on, than in the devil's ability to take us out. If God is for us, who? What God does is he unites us with Christ. When you're born again, he unites you with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Romans 6:1 says, "What then? Should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace?" Of course not. Would you listen? Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? I'm going to read it again. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? I'm talking about someone who is born of God, born again. Or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ and Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were, everybody say were, crucified with Christ, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm no longer a slave to sin. I don't have to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. Has there been a resurrection in your life? Have you been raised to new life? Are you a new creation? I want to talk about the four different levels of sanctification, or the four phases, really. The first one, I want you to hear this, it's called pre-conversion sanctification. The second one is positional sanctification. The third one is progressive or practical sanctification. And then the fourth one is perfect sanctification. I'm going to begin with pre-conversion sanctification. Even before, listen, a person is converted, he or she can be set apart in a position of favor, a privilege. Now, how does that work? Well, it does not mean that you are saved and going to heaven, okay? But if you happen to be married to an unbelieving spouse, then you are actually in a position of privilege because you are joined to someone who has the Spirit of God dwelling in them. And so your life can be blessed by the fact that they or your husband or your wife is blessed. Are you understanding that? So there can be some benefits. There are privileges of being in a marriage even when there is an unbelieving spouse. That unbelieving spouse can be sanctified by the believing spouse. Amen? Is it making sense? Tracking so far? And in 1 Corinthians 7:14 it says the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. That word holy also is related to the word sanctified. Now, understand, it doesn't mean that you've got darling little children living in your home because you may be a believing parent. It means that the children are also blessed because they are under your roof and under your authority. The child, as well as the unbelieving spouse, need to be born again, amen, in order to see the kingdom. So there are temporary privileges that can come on a person in this world based upon their association with someone who is in Christ. That's how much influence we have. Just simply because we have the Spirit of God in us. And that means wherever we go, there is a fragrance of Christ. There's a witness of Christ. So our children need to be brought up, amen, in the ways of the Lord. They need to be instructed in the ways of the Lord. They need to be taught as they grow up. This is pre-conversion sanctification. And sometimes kids that grow up in Christian homes just assume because I'm in a Christian home, that makes me a Christian. Right? How many here grew up in a Christian home? Yeah. How many knew you had to get saved the same way mom and dad did, right? Yeah. Then there, the second level is the positional sanctification, which I believe is the place where we are in Christ when we are born again, we are positionally sanctified because of our union with Christ. This means that we've been set apart to God from the world. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And then verse 11, it says what? And such were some of you. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the church. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says this, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through what? Sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. By that will, God's will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is positional sanctification. It means positionally, this is a reality in us. The problem is we are still programmed and patterned after the old nature in our minds. There is this war that is going on. Are you hearing me? where one is not agreeing with the other. Positionally, I'm set apart unto the Lord. But in my understanding, in my mind, I need to come to a place where I believe in that reality. My mind has been renewed to think God's thoughts and to see things from God's perspective. Romans 12:2 talks about that. Being renewed in the spirit of your mind. You've got to come to a knowledge of the truth of what is authentic, and God will begin to wash your mind and your thinking through the revelation of what is true, the Word of God. And then your thoughts begin to change. And when your thoughts begin to change, your mind becomes one with the reality of who you are in Christ. And then guess what? Your body just follows suit. And so many believers simply do not have victory in their life because they lack the revelation of the truth. They lack the knowledge of the truth. Are you hearing me? Because we do not know who we really are in Christ. Because we have an unrenewed mind. This mind is in the process. This is the progressive sanctification of being changed, being transformed. When your mind is transformed, your thoughts change. Amen? You begin to think God's thoughts. When you see something that is not true, right away you know, wait a minute, that is a lie. That does not agree with the truth. And then we have to make the decision to take that thought captive and refuse to entertain it because it's illegal for me because I am a child of God. That thought is of Adam, it's not of Christ. Being renewed, coming to a knowledge, a saving knowledge of the truth. See, God wants to redeem the entire person. God doesn't throw you away, folks. God's purpose is to redeem soul, amen, spirit, body, but in the order of spirit, soul, and body. I kind of see it this way, where when you are born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within your heart or spirit, your core, amen? And then the process of renewing begins in the soul. The mind, the emotions, and the will have to come into agreement with the will of the Spirit. Through what? Through the revelation of what is true. By knowing that this is true, that is false, as it's revealed to us by the Spirit of God. A holy person, again, is an integrated person, a person who thinks, speaks, does the same thing. God is holy because everything He thinks, speaks, and does always agrees. When we become whole or holy, it means that we are like Him, Christ-like. We become whole in our thinking, in our speech, in our actions. They agree. If I tell you I'm going to be there at a certain time, amen? And I don't show up and I don't say anything, guess what? That's unholy. If I'm a person who is holy, what I say is what I mean. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, right? So if I'm thinking something and then I speak what I'm thinking, I'll also do what I say. Otherwise, I'm acting and I'm a hypocrite. And we don't need any more hypocrites, right? And I don't want to be one either. So progressive sanctification is this present setting apart of the believer to God from the world. He's also setting us apart from what? From sin and self. Our biggest enemy is really the self-life, the selfish nature that has to be ignored. It has to be denied daily. Paul said, I die daily. It was a struggle. Jesus also, as he walked in this earth, he was a human being, folks. He did not have a sin nature, but he had emotions, he had feelings. And he could be tempted, obviously. He was tempted in all points, as we are, yet without sin. He became our sacrifice. So we need to understand that Jesus demonstrated for us that it's possible for us to live holy. And how did he do it? He depended upon the Father every day. And he did not put any confidence in his own human ability. The Bible says that he became like Adam. He took on the form of a man, of a servant, like you and I, except he had no sin. He had no sin nature. But the potential for sin was there because he was fully human as well as fully God. He was a God-man. Amen? And we have the God-man in heaven right now. That's why the Bible calls him the man, Christ Jesus. There's a God-man in heaven as our great high priest representing us to the Father, who can sympathize, amen, with our weaknesses, also being tempted in every point. He knows what we struggle with. He knows what it's like. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, this is the will of God. You want to know what the will of God is? Here it goes. Your sanctification. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel, that's your body, in sanctification and honor. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, there it is again, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Again, the same way positional sanctification is accomplished, it is a work of the Holy Spirit. So progressive or practical sanctification is also brought about by the Holy Spirit. And it's brought about by the Holy Spirit, listen, when we obey the Word of God. Oh, yes. Where is that law written? Well, if you're in Christ, it's written on your heart. Amen? And that voice that tells you this is the way. And if you want to live, you have to say yes to God and no to you daily. And this process, folks, should continue as long as we're here on earth. Well, I believe God wants us to continually be pressing towards this goal. We pray. We seek the Lord. We allow God, amen, to have his way with us. Submit yourself to God. Give yourself away. If you try to save your life, you lose it. There are many people who are brought to a place of decision where they know what God expects. They have heard the message. And then you come to a place where there's a line in the sand, if you will. And I have to take that big step over that line. And there's one part of me that's saying, I don't want to do it. And the other part is saying, go ahead, that's where your life's at. That's where your freedom's at. That's where your deliverance is at. That's where your new life begins. Are you hearing me? And many people are brought to that place of decision where they have to step out of themselves and into Christ. And that's where many people will get off, because they don't want to die to themselves. They don't want to give up their life. But folks, I'm telling you, the way for us to live is to die. The way for us to live is to give our lives away. We sing that song, and there's a reason why we stay on that song, sacrifice. So what do I do with the life that you paid for? Do I run my own way, hoping my truth won't falter? How many have realized your truth will falter? Or do I start up the fire, let God have me, burn in me, amen, consume me, amen, and climb on the altar? That means give my life totally, totally away to God. Amen. Complete, all in with Jesus Christ. That's stepping over the line, and that's stepping into the place of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. No, it's not a chore. It's not a terrible thing. It's a wonderful thing. Sometimes we are brought to that line and we run away, saying, oh, I don't know about that. I'll give God a little bit of my spare change, and, you know, I'll kind of give God a little bit of my leftovers. And so you run away, and then later on, because God pursues us, you know, He keeps dealing with you. Till you finally, you get to that point, you say, man, I don't know. I'm going to tell you what happened to me. I got so desperate. And that's a good place to be. And I said, oh God, take the mess. Take the brokenness. Take the whatever's left of this life. And you know what He says? He didn't throw me away. He redeemed me. He purchased me, and now He's sanctifying me spirit, soul, and body, so that I will be preserved blameless before Him in every part. Do you understand, folks, that we have responsibility to keep ourselves spiritually pure, soul, and pure in our soul as well as in our body? Because God's coming for a church that is holy, that is integrated, that is like Him, that has been united with Him in His death, but also in the likeness of His resurrection. Okay, moving along. I want to talk about perfect sanctification. This is the fourth one. It refers to our final condition. And I believe, folks, this is when we go to be with the Lord, where we will be completely and finally set apart from sin. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of God. Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him, what? Purifies himself just as He is pure. Now, in the New Living Translation, it says it this way. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but He has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. I know some people may think that to be true, but this is what the Word says. But we do know that we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure, just as He is pure. What is a sign that you are born again? What is a sign that you are a child of God? The sign that you are a child of God is a life that reflects that reality. Yeah. That you are in the truth. That you live according to the truth. You understand that? If we claim to be in the truth and we live a lie, we are deceiving ourselves. You must be born again, and you must submit yourself to God daily. You must practice daily saying no to your desires, your fleshly desires. Starve out your flesh and say yes to the Spirit of God. And every time you're saying yes to God, life. Do you want revival? You know what revival is? Revival means to return to life in God. It means to worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. It's not just going to a meeting, folks. Revival begins with you and I and as an individual. The life of God in us, because we have repented, we have turned to God. We no longer trust ourselves, we trust in Christ alone. I no longer rely on my ability to live holy, I trust in His ability to be holy in me. And for His life to be released through me. It's no longer I, like Paul said, who live, but Christ in me. And he said, I live by faith in the Son of God. Every day, he said, I have to die to myself. I have to say no to me and yes to God. And 1 John. When we pray for each other, you know, we always have needs. Anybody here besides myself have needs? We all have needs, right? So much of our prayer is focused on needs. Even folks, when we pray for others, you know, we see their needs, and it's important that we petition the Father for needs. Amen? But true Christianity is not need-based. It's not just about getting your needs met. True Christianity is a surrendered life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. To be willing to lay down my life, my desires, my wants, that I might take up my cross and follow Him and complete the assignment that He gave me. True Christianity is not just coming around and asking God for stuff in a circle. It's called a denying or utterly disowning is what it means. When you are in Christ, you are under new ownership. You have a new master, a new Lord. Amen? You are not your own God. Your mind is rebelling against that reality, saying, no, I want to do my thing. And the Spirit of Christ in you is saying, no, this is the way of life. Deny that part of you that's in rebellion. Oh. Our flesh hates to hear that. I don't want to give up what I want to do. Isn't that true? We want to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it, and nobody tells me what to do. That's human nature, folks. That's the part of us that has to die. That's the part of us that has to be disowned. I am dead to that old man. I'm dead to that way of thinking. I'm alive in Christ. I have a new life. I'm a brand new man in Christ Jesus. The old has gone, the new has come. I live now in the reality of the kingdom. God has revealed Himself in my heart. The veil in my heart has been removed. That curtain that was blocking my vision of who He is has been removed. And now I'm able to understand, begin to, what is true as He reveals it to me. When you're born again and your life changes. Your desires change. You love like you never loved before. How many realize that? Because of the love of God in your heart. And when you say no to yourself, you're allowing God's love to fill you. Amen. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve self and Christ. But when you serve Christ and deny self, you come alive. There is righteousness, peace, and joy in the presence of the Lord. And your flesh says, oh no, I don't want to do that. Well, do yourself a favor. Get over yourself. Disown yourself. Throw yourself on the altar. Amen? What do I do with the life that you paid for? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get on fire for Jesus. I'm going to let Him burn in my heart, get on fire for Jesus, and then I'm going to take this old man, and I'm going to put him on the altar. Amen? Crucify him. So that the life of Christ will be lived through me. Hallelujah. See, there's a part of you, some of you hearing today, I believe that there's a part of you that's saying, yes, I know that's right. I know that's what I need to do. But there's this other part of you saying, oh, I don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You don't want to get that religious. You don't want to get that carried away. You don't want to become a fanatic. Anybody hearing that voice right now? We don't hear that voice anymore, do we? That's that part of you that resists the Spirit of God, that resists the will of God, is the part that you must disown. That means I no longer own myself. I'm under new management, new ownership. He's Lord. You understand, there's a lot of people who claim to be Christians, but actually a Christian is a follower of Christ. Amen? That's what a Christian is. We may claim to be a Christian, but a Christian means that I no longer am self-serving. I am serving God with my life. Yeah. You have to die to yourself. You cannot serve two masters. You're going to have to make the decision. If you try to serve the Lord and yourself, then you stay bound in your problems. You stay bound in your addictions. You stay bound in the ways of life that you have adopted as you've grown up in this world. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
But when you come up to that line, and I believe there's somebody here today that God is just calling you right to that line and telling you to step over it and just give up. Give it up. Give up your life. Give your life away. Give it to God. Amen. Give your life to God. And watch what God will do with you. Watch how God will open the heavens in your life. Watch how God will fill you with such joy. Because that's the kingdom. Step over that line. Don't hold back from God. Because He's got something far greater than what you think you're going to lose. Superior reality is the kingdom. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Would you just bow your heads for a moment? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for promising us your kingdom. Thank you for the life that you've given to us, Lord. Lord, we take this life and we give it back to you. And we say, Lord, take my life. Would you just tell the Lord today, Jesus, I want you to take my life. I surrender all to you today. Lord, I ask you to take out of me that heart of stone. Give me a heart of flesh. And put your Holy Spirit in me. Lord Jesus, wash me in your blood. Purify me. And purify my desires. Set me on fire for you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.